My guest today is Peyton Isaacson, a 2015 Galesburg High School graduate and a 2023 inductee into the Galesburg Athletic Hall of Fame. Peyton was a standout on the football field, leading the Silver Streaks as a three-year starting quarterback, setting school records, and guiding the team to the state playoffs twice, a feat no other Galesburg quarterback has accomplished. On the diamond, he was a three-time All-Western Big Six conference pitcher, a member of Coastal Carolina's 2016 College World Series championship team, and the all-time saves leader at St. Leo University. But his baseball career didn't stop there. He played professional baseball in the Frontier League through last summer. From carrying the weight of a storied family legacy to becoming a program changer for Galesburg Athletics, Peyton's story is one of leadership, grit, and excellence. So, Peyton, thanks for joining me on WGIL.
Happy to be here.
Good to have you. So I talked to your coach, Tim Doherty, a little bit this week to get a little insight on you. And he said, without Peyton, our program wouldn't have turned the corner. He described you as a foundation for rebuilding Galesburg's football program. You know, as a sophomore starter stepping in, what was the program like from when you started to when you finished, do you think?
I think a lot of it was commitment and overall, like, passion of, like, football throughout the school, I think, changed. I just remember we played Quincy my senior year, and, like, the students, like, stormed the field. And, like, I've never seen that before or, you know, even thought, like, we witnessed that. So that was, like, really cool to see. So, I mean, like, going from 1-8 my freshman year to the winning the conference championship. The students, like, storming the field. So
that's a pretty big jump from 1-8, you know. What do you think? What was the big transformation, do you think?
Well, I think the coaching staff, Coach Doherty, definitely Hall of Fame coach. Like, he set the foundation. And I think a lot of the kids my age bought in. Sophomore year, Trevon Diggins, John Mixon, Manny Valdez, and it goes on, Derek Brackett. We had guys that were studs. And to come in at 15, and play behind those guys really helped the foundation, I think, moving forward. And I think that senior class, O'Brien Allen, like I said, Matt Hawkins was a year younger, but those guys kind of instilled, you know, we saw them work. And I think then our class kind of put like their work ethic and we just carried it off.
How soon did you know that sophomore year that you guys were going to be really good?
I mean, you just got to watch Trevon and John on the ball.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we had some big guys up front. And so it was just really my job to manage the game and let those freak athletes do their thing.
You know, speaking of managing the game, Coach Doherty praised your leadership and your football IQ, you know, saying that he could have a conversation with you like you're on a golf course, you know, even during intense times. What was it like to play for Coach Doherty, and how did his style maybe help you as a player and a leader?
Well, he was very much like my grandfather and my dad. You know, being a coach's kid, I kind of knew that the more that they talked to you, the more that they cared and they were trying to get their point across. And so I took a lot of the stuff that they said and I was able to process it. And I think that came from my background in childhood, being a coach's kid. Playing for him, I loved it though, because he was so intense and he made you feel like it was important. And you know, it was, but like he wanted you to feel like it was important.
He also told me that, you know, the game slowed down for you, meaning you could process, you know, the chaos of a play and make smart decisions under pressure. I know you spoke about, you know, your grandfather and your dad, but, you know, why were you able to slow it down, do you think?
Well, I think when my father coached in college football for 22 years, I've been in film rooms and was looking over his playbooks and stuff since I was a little kid. And I really grasped the game. And I grew up being a huge Peyton Manning fan. And that's one of his, like, claim to fame. Is like he knew what the defense was doing before, you know, he hiked the ball. And he knew a lot of the IQ was a big thing about being a quarterback. And I always wanted to be a quarterback. So growing up, I kind of really took time to learn the nuances of the game.
Were you a quarterback all your life, you know, through JFL and junior high?
My fourth grade year, I played fullback, and then I grew a little bit. My fifth grade year is when I started playing quarterback.
Okay. And of course, your dad was a really good quarterback. What did you take from him, or, you know, what kind of lessons did he try to tell you maybe?
Well, him and Coach Reed, too, coached with me a lot, Mark Reed. Mark Reed started giving me lessons when I was like seventh grade. And one of the main things that Mark Reed said was that how you roll is how we roll. So, like, you know, you go up to the line, you have energy, you present yourself like good, then the guys are going to feed off that. And I really like bought into that. And then my dad's side, he was really good at simplifying the game, like on concepts like flood concepts or smash concepts against cover two or cover three, like singling, like, you know, this defender, just look at him. If he does this, you know to throw that. If he does this, you know to throw that. And it just simplifies it. Because when you're out there, it's moving quick, and we did no huddle. So I didn't really have a lot of time to, like, comb the defense and understand what they were doing, like, specifically, like, pre-snap in the secondary. Once I learned to kind of single out a couple of different guys, then that really, like, simplified the game for.
You know, as a football player, there's nothing quite like game night. What did it feel like? You know, you have a whole week of practice and then you take to the field, Van Dyke Field, on a Friday night under the lights. What's that feeling like?
And it was cool. You know, being a 3-year starter, I kind of got into routine. I'd always have a Subway sandwich before I played, and I'd pick up my best buddy and, you know, one of the all-time greats, Ben Holloway. We go to the field and, you know, we get the pads on, just the pants on, and crank the music and get the cleats on, get the tape on, and we'd start hearing the footsteps of people coming in, and, like, you knew it was time to put on a show. And, you know, like, playing baseball and playing pro, you kind of learn, you know, you're part an entertainer. But this wasn't that. It was like, you know, we're out here not just playing for ourselves and our teammates, but we're playing for our town. And, like, we really, like, tried to embrace that.
Did you play at all on the old field, or did you start all 3 years on?
Yeah, 2 years on Van Dyke, and then my senior year was the first year at, CBI field?
Yeah. Yeah. What was that transition like? Was it pretty exciting to get to play on the big field, or did you prefer one or the other?
I thought both were great. They were both unique in their own ways. But the new field, I mean, you can't beat it for a high school stadium. Like, I've been down to Texas, and I've actually worked out at a couple high schools, like pregame, played down in Arlington and so forth. And they have some very nice high school complexes, but ours is very close, very close, very nice. I really do like the new stadium, and I think they did a great job. It was really fun playing.
Coach Doherty told me that, you know, you were obviously a captain, but you were a complete captain. You were able to deal with not only, you know, the really talented players, but maybe some of the role players. Kind of share about your time as being a captain and what made that an important role for you.
I mean, them are my boys. I mean, you, when you strap it up with the guys that you've grown up with your whole entire lives, it's like, it's a different feeling. And playing football, there's really nothing like it. And it's really cool to know that, I mean, these guys are, you know, conductors on the railroad, engineers on the railroad. They're the guys that, you know, they're going to fix your furnace, and they're going to do everything around town to make this town what it is. And to have that team around town now, and just to have that camaraderie, we wore these bands called Band of Brothers, and that really, like, it really pinpointed kind of, like, we were in it together, and that's how I wanted it to be. We were going to go down. We're going to go down as a squad, and, you know, going on top, we're going to do it together. You know, when we beat Quincy, it took everybody going into the playoffs and everything. It was just a surreal time thinking back on it. But I think that our chemistry and camaraderie, like, really, really helped us become, like, a winning team.
What do you remember about any of the big games? I think Coach mentioned a game against Moline that Galesburg hadn't beaten them for a long time, and you guys had a big play in that game.
Yeah, 23 years in a row, I think Moline beat us. And I walk in there at 15 years old, and they know me from playing baseball, and a lot of the guys. And, man, they were talking smack, and it was a tough game. I remember they were up 7-0, I think, going into the second quarter. And I threw a long pass to Ben, and I got smoked. I remember first real varsity hit I probably took is John Mixon took over the first two games we won against DeKalb and Morton. And we're playing Moline. We haven't beat them in 23 years, and they're keying on Johnny and Trevon. And Ben's wide open down the seam, and I hit him, and he takes it to the house. And from there, it's like we weren't scared or nothing. And I think we beat them all 3 years that we played them.
Yeah. What do you remember about so you made the playoffs twice. What do you remember about those two playoff games?
I remember that there's a fine line between winning and like the execution and they're good teams. So we didn't execute enough that first game against U-High. We were down a couple people. I think I was 15, Ben was 16, JJ was 15, and Trevon was 18 in the backfield. So from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, complete different change in the backfield, but we had our big guys up front, kept us in it, but we ended up falling short. But I just remember that it was full on, we left it all out there, and it was like something to hang our heads high on.
You mentioned your dad and grandpa. You come from one of Galesburg's most storied baseball families, with your father, Jamie, and your late grandfather, Jimmy, having coached at Knox and Sandberg and Legion. How much pressure did you feel growing up with that name? And do you feel you've successfully carried the torch?
I felt pressure for sure. But I think that it kind of gave me an expectation. Like I always grew up, thought and expected that I should. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that is, cocky or anything, but it's just how it was. And so I felt that it was more pressure to win than more pressure to hold up. That makes sense.
Yeah, you probably, you were around it for so long, it was probably just kind of natural too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall ever being on like a losing team in high school or even anybody in our class. I mean, the track team was great. The golf team was great. Delaney Duncan and swim team was great. Mm-hmm. The basketball team was ranked third. I mean, we were just a winning group of silver streaks. And I think we never really thought about losing and I think having a good foundation, like I said, of camaraderie of friends. And like I mentioned before, like those are my boys. Like I think we all held each other accountable and made sure that we were doing the right things to represent what we were doing.
Talk about your time playing baseball for Galesburg High School.
Well, I loved it. Saturday mornings in the spring is cold. Put the long sleeves on, put my tunes in, and I just knew that we were going to come ready to play. We had a good squad, so it was fun. I think we won conference all 4 years. And sophomore year when we beat number one Alleman in regional finals, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
But, threw eight innings. Drew Diaz comes out in the eighth inning. He's like, we're going to get these guys. Let's go, man. And then we dogpile. But, people were out on the streets when we were coming home. It was cool. I loved it. And we won a lot. So, that always helps.
So then, you go on to Coastal Carolina and you were part of that magical 2016 College World Series championship team. What was it like to play on a team that won the national title?
Oh, man, I learned so much about baseball that year. And those guys were so good. I think like 23 or 27, ended up going to play pro. And I mean, we still talk to this day. The chemistry was and still is there. And it was really cool because they were the senior class, much like my sophomore year football, because they were 2 years prior, I was a freshman, they're seniors. 2 years prior, they were like 14 and 40. And to turn around and become national champions, like, I really saw, you know, what it took, what it really took to be a champion, how, like, how to work, the work ethic it took, the routine you must have, and how to be not just a D1 athlete, but if you want to be a pro athlete, how to be a pro.
Did you have any idea when you went there, or even at the beginning of the season, that you guys were capable of doing that?
I mean, I think I was 18 and, you know, dumb and you never really thought about it. I mean, I think first weekend we played Virginia, and I actually played that game, and they won the national championship the year before, and we actually beat them. So I think that kind of showed that, okay, we can compete with the national teams. Now let's go prove it. And the program going in, people around here didn't know, but they made it to super regionals before, and they were top 40 program going in. So, I mean, just finding a spot in the lineup and finding a freshman year going, I didn't think it was going to be that hard to see the field. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I think there was like 6 All-Americans, I think. And I mean, some of those practice games we had, incredible.
How about, I assume you got a ring for that then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do with that ring today?
Oh, it's in a safe place.
Yeah. You're not flashing around, walking around, going into Coney Island with your flashing your ring.
Right. I had a couple of buddies kind of scrape it up early on, you know, getting a little rowdy with it. So that kind of made me think like, okay, when I get this to my parents, you know, make sure that they keep it in a good spot so I don't get too rowdy with it.
Yeah. So after your time at Coastal Carolina, you transferred to St. Leo University and you became the all-time saves leader and went on to play professionally, obviously. But what kind of led to your decision to go to St. Leo?
It was a personal decision. I think just at Coastal, I was very single-oriented. I was hitting, maybe doing a little catching. And if I was going to go pro, I needed to show everything I could do. So I made a personal decision to do that. And I became a starting catcher, starting closer, and when I didn't catch, I started first base and hit in the middle of the lineup. So I was able to show my whole repertoire in the game. And I think personally, it was the best decision I could have made. And I mean, nothing with Coastal or anything like that. I had a great time there. I mean, started there my sophomore year, got playing time. I think it was just a personal decision at the time. And at the time, the portal wasn't what it is now. And so would I have ended up in St. Leo nowadays? I don't know. But I ended up there, and God works mysterious ways, and it ended up being a great, great fit.
What position do you think you identify as? You know, I always kind of think of you as a catcher, but obviously you're the all-time saves leader at St. Leo, and I know you've done a lot of pitching. What do you think you, if somebody just said Peyton Isaacson, what do you think position-wise they think of?
Well, I was an all-star first baseman last season, 2024. So I would say that I caught majority of my career. That's a lot of what people identify me as, but I just want to be known as a ball player. You know, it doesn't make no difference to me.
What position do you think you like playing the most?
Well, I love catching because you're in every play. But closing was fun. Being a closing pitcher, you know, I threw, you know, low 90s, you know, 88 on a meet, you know, 88, 90. But, you know, I wish I threw 100. You know, closing pitching is like, there's nothing like it. It's just, it's either you get it done or you don't, you know, it's strike or ball. There's no what ifs or anything like that. It's you have control, and that's how I like it, you know?
I mean, obviously, you've encountered a lot of pressure situations. I mean, you know, quarterback, catcher, first baseman, closer. I mean, what do you think's the most pressure-packed? You would think closer, is that right?
Yeah, for sure. Closer coming.
Because it's all on your shoulders, right? I mean, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the key is you can't walk it. You got to make them earn. So if you get that past your mind, like, they might hit this out of the park and, you know, everyone's looking at you like you lost the game, then so be it. Because if you let them get on base, then it becomes a lot harder. So
how did you become a closer?
Was it more
talent, or did you fit that, or was it mentality, or kind of both?
I think it was mentality and the fact that I would catch and then take the gear off and throw it warm-up pitches. And I think I had that mentality. I could get warm quick. Here it comes. I had a good off-speed pitch that I could throw at any count. So if my fastball wasn't working, I'd just spin it off a bunch of times and see if they could beat it.
Talk about your professional career. Are you done yet, or you still have hopes of playing more?
Yeah, I'm finished in 2024. Finished my season in Ontario, Canada, and played for the Ottawa Titans. And so it's been about a year now since I played. And I would tell you what, it was probably the best 6 years of my life. Got to travel the world or the country, parts of Canada, play in front of thousands of people and be, you know, get to see what, you know, experience kind of a different point of view of life that some have not seen. And so very grateful, very fortunate, and no regrets.
Going back to high school a little bit, you know, you and you mentioned Ben Holloway, you've excelled at multiple sports. You were football, baseball, and for Ben, football and track. It seems like fewer kids today are playing multiple sports, maybe compared to when you were in school. How did playing both sports benefit you? And do you think fewer kids are doing it now?
First part of that question, I think playing multiple sports benefits in one, you're around different intensities in each sport. And that shows you kind of different levels of competitiveness that like one athlete must get to succeed at their highest, I believe. And I think playing football helped me become a baseball player, because when it got hard, I knew how to, you know, dig deep, use my legs, you know, trust my instincts and all that through football. And that helped me with baseball. And I think that you learn certain things playing multiple sports that you don't learn just in one senior. And that's mentally, physically, and intuition.
And how about the fact that, do you think kids are doing it as much these days? And why, if not?
You know, I don't know, because I love playing football and I love playing baseball. I love basketball. I just knew that I probably couldn't excel in in football or baseball if I played basketball, and or I don't even know if I would have saw the court, because our team was pretty good.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know. I wish that they played all three. I think that the best athletes should play all sports, but those are the times nowadays, and it is what it is. But I think that if you're going to do something, you should be the best at it. You should try to be.
You know, it's your 2023 Athletic Hall of Fame induction. You gave one of the most memorable and impassioned acceptance speeches that I've witnessed at those ceremonies. What was your message that you wanted to share with the community that night? A lot of it was family, I know. Family and coaches. You thanked a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that just playing for the community and the love that the community gave back, I think really inspired me for that speech. I think that the love that the community has shown my family is something that, you know, I can't really repay, and that I'm very grateful for. And, you know, a lot of people around the community, you know, stop and talk and say, hey, and recognize you and everything. It's very a gratifying feeling, and I just wanted the community to know that.
And I know that, you know, obviously you had a lot of key people growing up, you know, family members, but, you know, you were also pretty passionate about your grandfather too. What did he mean to your career and your life in general?
Both my grandfathers, Bob Davison and
Jerry
Isaacson.
I knew both of them, though.
They both were incredible men in the community, and they traveled around the country with me when I was little playing baseball, and they became my best friends. And, you know, the way I am and everything, I think, has a lot to do with both of them, and I carry them with me, you know, every day.
As a Hall of Famer and one of Gillsburg's, you know, best two-sport athletes, what advice would you give to current Silver Streak athletes who are looking to carry on that tradition?
It takes hard work and commitment, and have fun with it. I mean, I was up at 5:45 in the mornings in the summers and going to bed at midnight or later from catching a doubleheader for a Legion game that night and doing it all over again and trying to find time to be a high school kid and you know, be a 16-year-old. It's hard, but if you put in the work, it's gonna pay you back. And that's what I'd say. Just put your head down, do the right things, get good grades, and everything will pay off in the end. And there's a saying that, like, you give a kid from Galesburg an opportunity, he's gonna love it.
Right.
And I firmly believe that.
We're going to finish up with the rapid fire round. I'm going to give you a prompt and give me the first thing that comes to your mind. So how about most underrated high school teammate?
Underrated high school teammate. Oh, man. JJ Range was a good teammate. JJ Range. Chris Anderson was good. Tyler Podboyski. Jake Ferguson. There you go. On and on. Alec Marty, Colin Dowers. We had a lot of good teammates. Jake Ryden. I'd say O'Brien Allen, though, maybe probably. Probably O'Brien Allen.
Okay. How about what's the better feeling, throwing a touchdown pass or hitting a home run?
Probably going yard.
Okay.
Yeah, probably going yard.
Okay. How about a Silver Streak's hero or heroes you watched growing up?
Oh. I watched Stack growing up. Stack was a beast. That whole class, really. Tanner Libby, Caleb Weaver, Don Davis. Watched him a lot growing up. I also played with him too, so I don't know if I can give him that credit.
Okay.
You know, I'm gonna give you Ryan Ricketts.
Okay.
Ryan Ricketts. I watched him. It was like, dang it, these beats.
Okay. How about this? Is kind of in the news now. Replay for balls and strikes. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Big fan of it.
Oh yeah, huge fan.
Okay. Here's a scenario for you. Bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the ninth. Your grandpa Jim is pinch hitting. For some reason, you and your dad are both on the bench. Who does he pick to pinch hit? You or your dad?
Oh, man. Probably my dad. I struck out too much.
Jim didn't like that. He wanted to put the ball in play, play a little Jimmy ball, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
No, my dad had the hit record there at the high school for a long time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Probably my dad.
Okay. How about favorite Gillsburg restaurant, past or present?
That's tough. That is tough. Past or present? Because Sweetos, I grew up behind Sweetos.
Okay. That's not a bad choice. That's not a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
How about one word to describe Coach Doherty?
Intense.
Okay.
Intense.
One word to describe Jim Isaacson?
Intense.
Intense. Okay. If I said Jamie Isaacson, you'd probably have the same thing, right?
You know, that's my best friend. You know, that's Pop. So, to describe my daddy, he's a thinker. You know, he's a thinker. So, man, that's tough.
Okay, how about we better give equal time? How about Mom?
An angel. She's an angel.
Okay. Finally, as we wrap up Gillsburg, what's Gillsburg mean to you?
It's home. Y'all never forget where you're from. Always, always be proud of it. Carry it with pride.
Okay. Peyton, I appreciate you joining me. You know, you're a streaks legend. And, you know, as a former sports writer, I covered your grandpa and your dad, and you really have done a great job of carrying on that legacy. So I appreciate you joining me today on WGIL.
Thank you. Thank you, Jared.